Oyagala okweyongera okuguka mateeka agakwata ku ttaka, ganyula mu pulogulaamu za Witness Radio, osomesebwe butya bw'osobola okukuuma ettaka lyo okuva mu mikono gy'abanakigwanyizi. Oli mulwanirizi wa ddembe, oyagala amaloboozi g'ebitundu oba ag'abantu b'olwani agatuukirira abavunaanyizibwa? Weekwate rediyo y'abantu Witness Radio. Wuliriza Witness Radio okumanya enkulaakulana y'ettaka nga tekosa abantu mu bitundu mweteekeddwa oba obutonde bw'ensi.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
In a world racing toward clean energy, who's left behind? Welcome to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, the program that highlights on Africa's journey toward a fair and inclusive energy future.
Hello, our dear listener. Welcome to Witness Radio, your trusted voice. You are listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, where we take you on a formative journey of energy transition across Africa. It's the Witness Radio series program, The Media in Renewable Energy. In this series, we are using the power of the media to shine a light on Uganda's journey towards clean, sustainable energy. To listen to us, visit our website www.witnessradio.org or visit the Google Play Store and download the Witness Radio app. And in case you'd like to reach us out, please chat with us on our WhatsApp +256 745 965 765 or through calling us directly +256 414 697 221, and we'll hear you out, or on all our social media platforms. Now, the renewable energy transition journey is on, and all efforts are geared to transforming Uganda with renewable energy to have Ugandans embrace and apply the new energy technologies of clean energy in their day-to-day life and move away from the ordinary use of firewood and charcoal. But today, we want to touch issues that seem to be hindering or delaying the community to trust to renewable energy. We want to understand why people are not quickly picking up the renewable energy program. But before we proceed, let's first go for a commercial break, and when we return, we'll listen to the experts.
Breaking the silence and elevating community voices.
Witness Radio, thank you so much. You have become our voices. Nobody would know what is taking place, because for a long time we had not known what was going on in Kiryandongo, what had taken place in Mubende, because the grabbers operate at night when people are asleep. But you have done a lot.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
The world is moving toward renewable energy, but will it be just for everyone? Tune in to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. East African Standard Time, where we explore how Africa can embrace clean energy without leaving communities behind. Because justice must fuel the transition. The energy future is here, but who benefits?
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that commercial break. Now, the renewable energy transition journey is ongoing, with the government, civil society organizations, and development partners working hard to see that people embrace the program and benefit from it. This effort also aims to curb the problem of environmental destruction by the community yearning for firewood and charcoal. But the problem is that the community is not really in the hurry to take up this program. Experts say the problem could be the over-reliance on traditional biomass and limited access to modern energy infrastructure, especially in rural areas. Bernard Dansua is an expert at EcoSafe Limited and deals in biogas and installation in the households. He shares with us why the delay and what exactly is happening in the rural communities.
As always, it has taken the normal learning curve. You introduce something new, people ask a lot of questions, which is quite normal. They want to be sure that what is something that they are going to engage themselves in is really working and working for their good. Awareness, the level of awareness is low, was very low, and it is still very low. Very many people don't know about renewable energies. They would prefer to continue the way they have been. So it cost us a lot of resources to create awareness among the communities where we have worked. So that one has taken time and resources like funds to travel to those places, to convince them that they need to listen to our information about the technology we are promoting. Mm. Sometimes you go there, you make an appointment, and by the time you get there, they have not yet gathered. Maybe they gather late. Sometimes only two people turn up, and that one is frustrating. You can see you have spent time and money, and people haven't turned up. But all the same, we continue. Before we go to a place to train in biogas, we identify people, influential people in the influencers among the communities, like progressive farmers, people like faith leaders, catechists, reverend fathers or reverends. Mm. So these are the people we start with. So these have followers. Mm. They can influence their community. They can. Some of them do have animals from which they can get manure. Yes. To be used. Mm. And in some instances, we have gone ahead to give them demonstration plants and use these demonstration plants as learning centers. So let's say faithfuls from denomination A congregate at their leader's place. Mm. We do the installation. After some time, that's around 14 days, we go back and commission this plant, biogas plant. On commissioning, we request the leader to invite his neighbors and his followers. They attend the commissioning event. They see that really we are getting fire from manure. Yeah. They see that we can boil or even fry eggs within the shortest time possible.
Yep.
There is no smoke. There is no soot. There is no ash left behind. Mm. So we use such events to demonstrate to these people. And all these are costs. Yeah. They are costs on our side. Mm. But those are the challenges. Another challenge is the cost of acquiring a biogas plant or the technology, renewable energy technology. That cost sometimes is prohibitive in a way. Mm. You are talking in terms of getting the smallest digester at around 3 million. That is the cheapest on the market as per now. So 3 million is a lot of money, given the fact that we are working with mainly peri-urban and rural communities. It's a lot of money that someone can hardly raise. So it is at this level that we try to use the payment to encourage them to pay in installments over a given period. Yeah, just to make it easy for them to access the technology. Yeah, so mainly those are the challenges.
Okay.
Ignorance about the technology and the cost.
Now, before we proceed, let's first go for a short commercial break, and when we return, we shall listen to our experts.
This is Witness Radio, connecting indigenous and local community voices.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that commercial break. Now, we heard from Banada telling us about the challenges of renewable energy affecting the rural community. And also that the community members who acquired the biogas on credit failed to pay back even in installments, which then becomes another challenge to the program. But we sought to find out what it takes for a person to have the biogas installed at their household. Banada says one must have a reliable source of fresh manure as the first step, but also calls for a reduction in prices to acquire biogas, especially revising the policy as it was for solar energy.
Someone must have a reliable source of fresh manure. That is qualification number one. Number two, he must have space where to install this plant. Number three, which is quite important, is he must have, or the household must have, a reliable source of water. Because, yes, in water-stressed areas, you find it's quite interesting that in some areas where they keep a lot of animals, they lack water. Yeah, someone will tell you, how can I look for water for biogas when my animals lack water? And we walk long distances to get access to water. How can I carry that water and do the mixing every day? Wow. So water becomes a limiting factor. In 5 years from today, I think the drive will have covered some more ground. But again, the cost of these technologies is still high. Yes, we should use some policy kind of mechanism or approach to bring down the cost of acquiring these technologies. For instance, as you can imagine, some 5 years ago, solar was a bit expensive, and very few people could acquire solar systems. But with the time, government has used the policy to make solar easy to acquire, unlike biogas. As regards biogas, the price is still high. Something should be done.
And now, before we proceed, let's first go for another short break. And when we return, we shall continue with the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
Witness Radio, a community-based radio station.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that break. You are listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition at Witness Radio, where we take you on an informative journey and at the moment focusing on Uganda's renewable energy transition plan. Uganda developed several renewable energy-related policies and plans, all aimed at promoting the development and utilization of renewable energy sources to increase access to affordable, reliable, and sustainable energy. Biogas should be one of the energy sources targeted in this endeavor, but it is still expensive to the rural communities. Banada emphasized the need for a deliberate policy to have the prices reduced for the communities.
I think we should start with the policy, because a government policy in the first place is funded. Government must develop the policy and find resources to finance that policy, to see it achieve its objective. I think in this case, government must up the game, its game. Should find a way of financing the policy. In fact, as regards biogas, even if you looked at the renewable energy policy, the current renewable energy policy, just mentions something about biogas. There isn't much. But I think also us players in this subsector should find a way of pushing, advocating for policy change to make biogas popular, or to make renewable energy more popular than it is today. So that that leads to uptake. There are people who are still convinced that using firewood is the way to go. The status quo should be maintained, which is quite unsustainable. So information. People should be informed. Communities should be informed, should be educated away from these data sources of energy, like firewood and charcoal. There should be a deliberate effort, a deliberate policy to educate communities, especially rural and urban both rural and urban communities, away from using these data sources of energy. People find it more, they are used to, it is easy to acquire charcoal, it's still easy to acquire, not just the prices are rising, but people still find it easier to acquire charcoal, because someone will use 3,000 to buy charcoal for a day, you get the point, than looking for 3 million to acquire a biogas digester that will serve him for 25 years. Can you imagine that? And if you look at the payback period of this digester, it does not exceed 2 years. But someone looks at spending 3,000 per day, that one is bearable. But 3 million, no, that one is very, very expensive, and it shouldn't be the way to go. Another thing to look at, and maybe it can be achieved through education, is the attitude. The way we prepare meals in our communities, we are used to preparing meals and keeping it warm for some time. Someone asks you, can biogas do that? Can you use biogas to do that? Mm-hmm. Or can you use an electric pressure cooker to they call it local okubo weza and mere. Can I use it to keep to prepare matoke in the traditional way? So that kind of attitude, it is through education. Then there should be a deliberate effort to educate our communities away from some unsustainable practices. Again, if we talk in terms of electric pressure cooker, how many households can use an electric pressure cooker? Very few, because the penetration of the main grid is still limited, and there is that belief that electricity is expensive and it is unreliable. Recently, I was chatting with an urban household, and I told them about an electric cooker, because they didn't have animals, and they were asking me, if we don't use biogas, what else can we use instead of biogas that is environmentally friendly? I talked of using an electric pressure cooker, and they said, sometimes we spend a week without electricity. How do you expect us to prepare our meals? So such excuses or such limitations should be addressed.
And still on the biogas, we sought to find out what the policy talks about it. Experts say that the policy generally needs to be popularized so as to be used. And for the biogas, it only mentions about it and does not go deep to explain on how it can support the ordinary people benefit from biogas. He says he's not satisfied and the journey is still very long to transform the community.
The area of interest of mine about biogas, he just mentioned interesting communities to go biogas. There is no timeline, there is no amount of biogas digesters that we are looking at. There is no stepwise manner in how that one was going to be addressed. So it's like coming out and saying that we shall go to heaven. How do we go to heaven? We don't have wings, we don't... How do we fly to heaven? So it is in abstract form. You get the point. And again, I find it... we have tried to work with the local authorities, and these are the ones that are close to communities, households, and You find that people at local authorities don't mention anything. I don't want to say they are not aware of these technologies, but they rarely mention anything about it. They rarely talk to communities about it. And when you go and invite them, for instance, or request them to work with them or through their structures to reach the community, it looks as if they are not aware of the need for the communities to get this information, and it's not mainstreamed in their normal schedules. It's like you are imposing on them something new, which is not integrated in their normal schedules, and that is a big challenge, because you have to convince them. People like community development workers or community development officers, I think they should be at the forefront of popularizing these new technologies. It's about community development. People like agriculture extension officers should be able to inform communities, especially the farming communities, about these new technologies. People like veterinary extension workers or vets, they should be able to talk about it. LC1 chairpersons, they have their production secretaries of production. The secretary of production should, during an LC1 meeting, should be able to inform their respective communities about the need and the availability of these technologies, the need to adopt the technologies and the availability of these technologies. For instance, currently as we talk, we have a subsidy from Uganda Energy Credit Capitalization Company, which belongs to the Ministry of Energy, a subsidy of 30% on each biogas digester that we sell. But you go, you try to inform these guys at local government, and they don't look to be interested. They don't look to talk about it. They don't seem to know the challenges through which these households are going through regarding access to energy, access to clean energy. So it makes penetration a bit challenging. They don't feel it. So that means that you remain alone as a company, and as a company you must provide the incentives. That is a cost that shouldn't fall back to the company. Because we are trying to make these technologies accessible to communities, the more cost we bring in will deter our penetration. I am not. I still see people who are using firewood. Right now I'm in Kayunga, but I have passed by a compound where there is a very huge heap of firewood, and these are dealers in firewood. So I can see that they still see a market for their firewood. Had it been that the market is going down, I wouldn't have seen this heap of firewood. I was traveling on a border deep in a village, but I was surprised. And this one is telling you that we haven't done much. So I'm not yet satisfied. There is still a long way to go, because the technologies are not known to the community, the target communities. The technologies are still expensive. No, I'm not. Yeah, it calls for concerted effort. Yes. It calls for concerted effort. We are a private company. You know what drives a private company. Yeah? Yes. At least you must have something to take home. We are investing in it. Yeah? We are making investments. Then that means government should create a conducive environment. There should, maybe something like a fund should be created where we can get where we can borrow money from to be able to at affordable rates to be able to serve more people. Because going by the normal bank rates, we can hardly do so. It doesn't make business sense.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Embracing policy, you know, oftentimes it has been said that in Uganda we have very good policies. But I think the challenge is the implementation. So when a policy like this comes into being and into force, you ask yourself, how many people actually know about it and its existence and what that policy says? So we really need to ensure that we disseminate this policy. Government needs to play a role. NGOs need to play a role to help to disseminate this policy or these policies and that transition plan so that the communities know what is in that policy. And that can be done by popularizing this and making this known to the users, the people who are supposed to use it. So if they don't know, then they will not be able to use it. And I doubt whether people know. Because most times these policies are enacted at the national level, but the dissemination and ensuring that they reach the district level and the community that are supposed to use them is a big challenge. So one of the things I would encourage government to do, but also civil society, NGOs, to support government to popularize and make known this energy, the national energy policy for yes. Uganda, as well as the transition plan.
Okay.
But also encourage communities to embrace renewable energy solutions, promote clean energy,
yeah.
and advocate for these inclusive policies. Yeah? That
yeah.
target and ensure that even vulnerable communities or populations that they're able to benefit from these policies or government programs. And when I talk about vulnerable populations, I mean people like women, the elderly, the youth, the disabled, maybe even refugees, all these are vulnerable populations. So while we categorize everyone that we want access for everyone, but again, within everyone, there are those categories of people whom we call vulnerable. How are we ensuring that this policy also prioritize access for such vulnerable households? There are most cases they are left behind. And yet the policy says they want access for everyone by
yes.
the year 2040.
Yeah.
So unless you look into some of these vulnerable populations, they are vulnerable because not of their own making, but circumstances that make them not be able to access these energy solutions. How can we ensure that we also focus on them so that they are not left behind? I think the 2030 goals say no one should be left behind.
Now, before we proceed, let's go for yet another break, and when we return, we'll continue with the program.
Witness Radio, uniting local voices in land and environmental justice struggle.
Amanya Zerugano Sorobati, Tuliba Sanifu, Ronaku Walero, Pebaza, Witness Radio, Rokuanti Ze, Wanseno Jetuli Jetuanga Lira, Jetusanga, Evisiwevi in Jawuru, Nene Jia, Okuanti no Yongro Kuli, the Zero Wars of Yafi. I think a sweet water worker. Kuang give a digianta kera, get a regula, get a program with the Zenja Uro, Kuang Baudida, a Maurida Genja Uro, Nasolo Kuanga Yambiwa, Mungede Stalism, Okusinga Dala, Kuyo Ton de Wensi, Uton de Wensi, Nautra Bantu, which you say to Sembede, you would Orensonga, Yemiti, Okuantin the Chisadi Dua, and my company's gassing the web in Trevienja Uro, the Kalangala, Basinja Yevinazi. Ewala basimbyeyo payini, basimbyeyo biki, nenga basanyayo buki, obutonde bwanso bwaffe bwe twasangibwa nabo.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
Witness Radio.
This is Witness Radio, connecting indigenous and local community voices across the globe.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
Welcome back from that break. And now, talking about the policy and environmental protection, Jacinta Nekesa, the Executive Director, Environmental Alert, said that the policy has played some successful roles, especially reducing on the reliance on the use of firewood and charcoal.
The National Energy Policy and the Transition Plan, indeed, they have played a role in protecting our environment. Because we are talking about renewable energy, and we are talking about reducing reliance on firewood and charcoal. when this happens, then it helps to curb deforestation. Mm. It helps to curb the cutting down of trees. Because when you look at traditional biomass use, people are relying on firewood. People are relying on the use of charcoal. And this promotes cutting down of trees. Mm. So when we talk about other alternatives, like use of cooking gas, use of electricity, then you will reduce deforestation. So we see that, yes, they are contributing to environmental protection by curbing deforestation and replacing the cooking of using firewood and charcoal, because this is what leads to cutting down of trees. And the, of course, when you look at the currently, the Uganda's forest cover, currently the loss annually of forest cover in Uganda, cutting down the trees, various reasons, including firewood and charcoal, stands at 2.6% annually. When we see alternatives coming in to replace firewood and charcoal, then it reduces on its deforestation. So there is a way it's contributing to environmental protection. That is one way. The other second one is that cleaner energy sources, they contribute to low carbon emissions. Because when you look at the energy transition plan, it aims for net zero emissions in the energy sector by 2065. So this is really aligning with Uganda's climate change commitments under the Paris Agreement. You know, Uganda, we sign agreements at the global level. One of them on climate change is called the Paris Agreement. Yes, and then we're also now talking about the nationally determined contributions. Right now, the government, through the Ministry of Water and the Environment, they are reviewing, they are looking at stocktaking, like looking at how much have we achieved when it comes to nationally determined contributions. There are targets in there that Uganda government set and said we are going to contribute to reducing carbon emissions. So they are doing that stocktaking, and maybe that will help to come up with a new revised target. But yes, the energy sector and the renewable energy and the interventions that are ongoing, they are making a big contribution to reducing these carbon emissions, and that's contributing to environmental protection.
Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, a program that unpacks Africa's shift toward cleaner, fairer, and more sustainable energy. Join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. East African Standard Time as we spotlight communities, policies, and voices shaping the continent's energy future. Stay informed, stay empowered. Keep your eyes on a Just Energy Transition, right here on Witness Radio.
You're listening to Eyes on a Just Energy Transition.
And as we wrap up today's episode, it should be noted that Uganda's transition to renewable energy, especially clean cooking, is still tough, as it calls for revising all the policies put in place so that the ordinary people can easily access and use it. A case pointed out is the biogas energy that is still expensive, and yet the policy only encourages people to use it but does not favor them. They say the prices should be reduced. And before we end the program, please, if you want to listen to us, visit our website www.witnessradio.org or visit the Google Play Store and download the Witness Radio app. And in case you'd like to reach us out, please chat with us on our WhatsApp, +256 745 965 765, or through calling us directly on +256 414 697 221, and we'll hear you out, or on all our social media platforms. Thank you for keeping it locked on Witness Radio. Stay tuned, stay informed, and stay inspired to be part of energy revolution. Please do not forget that Eyes on a Just Energy Transition airs on Witness Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 a.m. East African Standard Time. Catch us again, same time, same radio station. I'm Will Steven, your host.
That was Eyes on a Just Energy Transition, amplifying community voices and keeping justice at the center of Africa's clean energy shift. Join us again next time and keep your eyes open for change.